Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, there is a lot in 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about spiritual gifts. Jonathan is starting a series on spiritual gifts today. So this would be a good scripture to sit in for the next 5 weeks. Starting at verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Let's jump down to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. This is the Word of God.
Well, peace be with you. I'm pleased to announce this morning that after a long search, with a field of strong candidates, we have filled the role of executive assistant. I want to thank all those who applied and those who put their names forward. The person who has been appointed is Sarah Beresford. Her face will be up on the screen. So Sarah starts on the 10th of July and will gradually transition into the full role. So I encourage you to keep Sarah and her family in your prayers as she comes onto the team and works out what it's like to work for a church, which is a bit different. So let me say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment, for the opportunity to freely worship you. We don't take that for granted. We respond to your grace in our life with love back towards you. And we say thank you. But we have a request this morning, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we would hear only your words, only you, Jesus. Speak to us in ways that we can understand. Move us, Lord Jesus. Renovate our lives as indeed you are renovating this building. Do your work in us, we pray. Amen. Well, a Scotsman and an Englishman and an Australian wanted to get into the Olympics. But they didn't have tickets and didn't have any money. And there was a big burly security guard at the front, and so there was no way they could sneak into the Olympics. But they were ingenious. And so the Scotsman, being smart, picks up a manhole cover, tucks it under his arm, walks to the gate and says, "McTavish, Scotland, discus," and walks in. The Englishman picks up a length of scaffolding, slings it over his shoulder, says, "Waddington Smith, England, pole vault," and walks in. The Australian looks around, has an idea, picks up a roll of barbed wire, tucks it under his arm, says, "Jones, Australia, fencing."
Come on.
Is it funny the second time, Bailey?
No.
Wait till the third. I want to thank Mark and Peter for preaching the last couple of weeks. It is enriching to hear those two men articulate their faith and encourage us in our faith, so I give them thanks. I was greatly heartened to hear all the reports from our Thailand team too. How good was that? That was extraordinary. And I want to thank Matt and Roz. Are they here this morning? They're coming tonight, of course. Matt and Roz, who led the team, I want to publicly thank them. It was a great team. It went well, and due in part to their leadership. So big thanks to Matt and Roz. I was encouraged to not only just the Thailand team, but our visiting Indian speaker, who both reflected to me that in Thailand and India, preachers preach for at least an hour to an hour and a quarter. So I'm prepared this morning to... For the next few weeks, next 5 weeks, we're delving into the whole realm of spiritual gifts. And I'd prefer for us to think about this series in the context of this. The gifts that God gives us to live an extraordinary life. The gifts that God gives us to live an extraordinary life. So today I want to give you an introduction into the whole scope of spiritual gifts, and then also into the work of the Holy Spirit. And then next week, I'm going to move on to the speaking gifts, the doing gifts, and then the knowing gifts. And then we'll conclude with how do you find your gifts? How do you find them, and how do you work into those gifts? So I encourage you not to miss this series. I encourage you to use the three times that we have over a Sunday to be at worship and to get the most out of this. The use and the development of spiritual gifts is a vital part of our life, our Christian life, but in some circles it hardly gets talked about. So for me as your pastor, my heart is for you to know your gifts. I want you to work in your gifts. I want you to bless others with your gifts. It's by using your gifts that all of us live into the purpose that Christ has for his church, and we bless others. So let me just give you a bit of an intro into spiritual gifts and stating the obvious, that every follower of Jesus has at least one gift. So what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you and say, you have one gift. Point your finger. Come on. You have one gift. Okay? All right, come back to me. That's enough. Just one. That's enough. You might want to think of it as a birthday gift. You might want to think of it as a grace gift, the Greek word. It really leads us to understand it as a grace gift to you, a precious gift to you from your Heavenly Father. Gives you a gift. Every believer has at least one gift. That's you. That's all of us here. We have at least one gift, one spiritual gift given to us by a wonderful, loving Father. Some people have more than one. Some people have many. We can probably name a few people that have quite a few gifts. Some people have some that come and go, and they go a little bit depending on the circumstances at various times, and God provides more, and then they sort of mold and shape. But it's important that we discover and work into our spiritual gifts to use them. So we've produced a study guide. It's live now on our app, and so feel free to download it on our app, 52 pages. We're happy to provide you with a printed one, but we'd prefer not to run off hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies, 52 pages each. So I encourage you to grab that, small group leaders, if you want to use that. It's in sync with what I'm talking about. You can take longer to use it if you want to. You can use it as a personal devotional guide. You can share it with your friends. Just don't letterbox it to the neighbors, please. There's no real consensus on exactly how many gifts there are, or if indeed God is not adding more gifts as we go on, as things change. We're sticking with a list of 25 gifts. That's what's in that booklet. I encourage you to work through that booklet. Spiritual gifts are distinct from natural gifts in lots of ways. Every human being has natural gifts. Even if you don't think you do have some natural gifts. There's said to be over 500 natural gifts in operation. I reckon there's probably a lot more than that. You only have a spiritual gift if you are a believer in Jesus. There's a big difference between natural gifts and spiritual gifts. There are lots of ways to describe or group the spiritual gifts. They're scattered throughout the New Testament. And even naturally, you can find some in the Old Testament. You can discover some, for instance, the gift of leadership or artisans or all sorts of different things in the Old Testament. One writer clumps them primary gifts, complementary gifts, and additional gifts. Now, if you're reading around this area, I encourage you to read further about this. There's a lot of online resources. Be aware of the person's theology as they're coming in and what they're saying, because how they perceive how God is working in the world influences how they describe the gifts. There is an element in the broader church that holds to the thought that the gifts were only for the time of the apostles and it's now ceased. There are others who say the miraculous gifts are now ceased and because we don't need them anymore. Obviously, we've named 25 in there, quite a lot of those are miraculous gifts. I don't believe that. This church doesn't believe that. We operate that the gifts of the Spirit, miraculous and all, are part of the church's expression now and into the future. Let me give you three reasons why the activity or for the activity of the gifts are for now and also for the future. So three just quick reasons. The first is this, that God will be glorified. We got to honor God. That's the purpose of the church. Honoring God, bringing glory to His name. We often use that word glorify, which is that God will be lifted up, honored, in a way that is befitting to His status. King overall. We've sung about it this morning. Bailey brought it to our attention. When you discover and use your gifts, others can see that God is active, that God is moving in the world, and that God does in fact empower His people in supernatural ways. That's what we're talking about. When your gifts are working well, you act as if you are a spotlight on what God is doing. And so you draw attention to God because they go, my goodness me, how can you do that? And obviously you can't do that in your own natural way. There's a higher power influencing you and empowering you. So we bring attention to God. God gets the credit and His purposes in the world get accomplished through the using of your gifts. The spiritual gifts. The second is this. Others will be edified. It's really helpful for others when you use your spiritual gifts. Edified is an old-fashioned word, but I put it in there because it rhymes with the first one and the third point. edified really means encouraging, improved, or even informed. I like to think about that. Informed. Others are informed when you use your spiritual gifts. This adds to your brothers and sisters. When they're around you and you're using your spiritual gifts, guess what? They get built up. They get informed about what God's doing in the world. They get a sense that God is active even in little old you. How exciting is that? You ought to be jumping out of your seat with this. This is good news, really. So we encourage others. They get to see God active. Already, you've seen spiritual gifts used this morning. Not just here. You've had gifts of hospitality out there. There's gifts being displayed out there at the moment with the children's ministry area. There's all sorts of things. We thank people for their gifts, using their gifts. We're all encouraged, aren't we? When people do that, it brings the whole. Third thing, you'll be satisfied. The point of the gift for you as a believer is that when you are working in your gifting, when you're serving or speaking or knowing, when you exercise those gifts, you're meant to reflect at the end of the day, and you could be worn out. You could have served in children's ministry all day, you know, three services, and you could be absolutely gassed. And you get to the end of the day, you put your feet up at home, and you go, I was made for this. That's what it's meant to be when you use your spiritual gifts. I was born for this. This is my purpose. I'm meeting the meaning of what my life was about. Here I am. So what's your responsibility? As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, what's your responsibility? It is to find and use your gifts. That's all our responsibility. It's as simple and as difficult as that. So let me introduce you then to the Holy Spirit. Obviously, you know the Holy Spirit, but let me do an introduction to the Holy Spirit and give you just a broader understanding, but particularly the actual importance of the Holy Spirit. And who do we go through? We go to Jesus. Look up John 16. John 16 has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spends quite some time talking to the disciples about the Spirit and why the Spirit has to come. Why do I need to raise this to you? Why do I need to talk to you about what the Spirit does? Is because a whole pile of us have Western mindsets and we categorize the Spirit into a too hard basket. And so we say, well, we like you, Father. We really like the Son. But the Holy Spirit, we're not really sure about. So let's just push the Holy Spirit over there and we'll just walk away. And even though you've seen our Uniting Church logo, we've got a little dove on the logo. You've seen that? Wonder what that means. That's the means, the Spirit. The center of who we are as a Uniting Church. You know, it's a complicated topic that this focus on the Holy Spirit. And we've seen things that have worried us. things that we've struggled with. You know, some of you might have read stuff about Azusa Street. We've seen further outflowings of the Spirit. We've seen the Toronto blessing, and we're confused about it. What is all going on here with this? You might have seen or experienced some behavior at larger charismatic church events. Should that put us off? No. I'll speak to that in a moment. But let me keep raising this with you, because the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit and what God has for you is meant to be enhancing your life, bringing about renewal and newness in you. You know, I use a smartphone. I use a laptop computer, and I suspect I probably use about 10% of all that it is. Isn't that right? I want a phone on it. You know, now it's got all this sort of stuff on it, and I'm like, what is this all about? You know, is it the same with our faith? Of course it is. We use just this small amount of the resources that God has provided for us, the assets that He's given to us. Sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit in terms of Casper the Ghost. You remember that? Born in the 70s and 80s. You remember like this nebulous, like spirit sort of thing, this nothingness? Nothing could be further from the truth. John 16, let's go there. Jesus says this, John 16, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Gosh. It's good that Jesus goes away. It's to our advantage, he says, that Jesus goes away. Think about that. Think if you had the choice. Yeah, Jesus standing in front of you, or some, how we would describe, nebulous spirit. What would you choose? You'd choose Jesus every time, wouldn't you? I want to see Him, want to touch Him, want to know Him. But He says, no, it's good that I go away. Then I'll send you the Spirit, the Advocate. In other words, Jesus was sending someone who is best suited to our situation in order for you to live out your faith and your life at this present moment. Extraordinary. But got to get your head around that stuff. It was good that Jesus went away in order to send the Spirit. I read someone else's thoughts. I'm still trying to process what this means, but or trying to understand it. And if it's, you discern it with yourself. But someone else wrote, if Jesus stayed, well, He's only in one place at one time, but now He's sent the Holy Spirit, He's everywhere, with everyone at all the time. So it's to our advantage that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. But it means we have to take notice of what the Spirit does. We have to allow the Spirit's influence in our life. So having said what Jesus does, He opens up, having said who the Spirit is, Jesus opens up what the Spirit does. Verse 13 and onwards, if you're following on, it should be on the screen. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. Massive passage. Take us a lifetime to unpack. Well, we get a bit of a sense of what the Spirit is going to do. There's a list. Guide us in the truth. Take what He hears, declare it to us, glorify Jesus, and take that what is Jesus and declare it to us. In other words, let me put it in Jonathan's speech there. I understand it. It's this. He will keep us deeply connected to God. You know hallelujahs? Like, really, keep us deeply connected to God. That's what the Spirit does. Did you get excited about that? The Spirit holds us into the fold of God, then resources us to do Jesus' work. It's extraordinary. Take what is Jesus and make it known to us. Wow. Understanding further, more, bit by bit, the mind of God. Lately, I've been enjoying welding. Have I got any fellow welders here? Oh, beauty. There's a few boys here that I need some lessons from, that's for sure. I did a little bit when I was in high school back in the day, but some time ago, I bought myself a MIG welder. And I've been having a lot of fun. Like, every bit of metal at my place is attached to another bit of metal. And if it's on the side of the road, guess what? I'll pick it up and then I'll attach that to more bits of metal too. It's so good. And if it's wrong, you cut it off and start again. I love it. Compared to woodwork, it's so much easier. So, loving it. To be fair, I need a few lessons. Maybe Joni can give me some lessons later. But I'm going to have a crack, and that's not going to stop me having a go. Now, I don't pretend to understand the chemistry of what happens when you weld something together. Some of you guys are smarter than me. You might be able to tell me how this happens. But all I know is this, that I take two bits of steel, put them together, and using the current and the power and the electricity and this incredible little bit of wire that comes through the machine, I can actually melt these things together. It's extraordinary. And guess what? Guess what? It doesn't break if you do it properly. Like yeah, okay, all right, you don't... That's right. Let me tell you this. Those two bits of metal become one because of this incredible power that's poured through between the two of them. Is that not the same what the Spirit does to us? Don't push the metaphor too far, but I tell you what, like, we become one, connected to Jesus because of the Spirit's work. Isn't that good? Are you excited about that? Takes what is Jesus and makes it known to us, all of us. Let me talk to you about the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit. So this is a term that has been used to describe a renewal experience in a person's life, and sometimes more spiritual gifts are given. A lot of people get the gift of tongues when they're prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit. For many people, it's like when a great pouring of God's blessing comes upon them, and sometimes people feel extraordinary amounts of God's love on them. A renewal in a dryness, a sense of peace, a sense of forgiveness. It's amazing. Many people find it a separate experience to conversion from a distinctly different time. And the term baptism in the Spirit is to typify what happens, like what happens when we do baptisms. And we're going to do baptisms in a couple of weeks' time, so be here for baptisms. There's no doubt that baptism in the Holy Spirit has gained some negative press over the last few years. Some well-known practitioners have tried to use it for their own gain, financial gain, for their own glory. But we know that what's the Spirit's role is to bring God glory. So if it's coming, if the glory's going somewhere else, you go, oh, I'm going to back away from that. But let us not be put off by negative press. It's a part of the Christian experience. It can be argued by Scripture. It can be seen as a normal for a believer. Let me point you to Acts 19, verses 1 to 7. Here's an example of, just a small example of what this looks like. The Apostle Paul was in Ephesians, in Ephesus, and he connects with some of the disciples, and he asks them these series of questions. What baptism did you receive? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? And the blank looks on their face obviously indicate that they don't know what he's talking about. And they say, well, we received John's baptism. So Paul lays his hands on them. Verse 6, read it behind me on the screen. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. These were believers who hadn't yet received this extraordinary gift of the Holy Spirit. That's an example of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's God's gift to us. It's God's Spirit to us in a new way. And these guys, it was accompanied with speaking in tongues and prophecy. For other people, it's other gifts. More often than not, it's supernatural gifts. And I'll talk more about that in the next few weeks as we plot our way through it biblically. My friends, it's not something that we should be scared of. It's not something we should back away from, but it's one of the resources that God gives to us to live an extraordinary life. Over and over again in the New Testament, we read of the disciples receiving the help and the gifting of the Spirit to continue on with the ministry that Jesus charged them with. It's available to us as well. And so last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. We celebrated Pentecost Sunday. We remember 2,000 years ago the gift of the Spirit came, and it's still applicable even at this moment, even here at this day, today, in this church. You know, sometimes when people are prayed for, there's a great reaction. Sometimes people encounter God in such a powerful way, they fall over. Sometimes there are tears or joy or there's great repentance. Other times there's just a warm feeling of God's love, like a warm blanket, like a blessing. Sometimes, and I'd guess we prayed for people this morning and there was nothing. But that's okay. It's God's business. God does what he wants. We know this. When we ask in faith, God will be present. When we ask in hope that the Spirit will come and dwell in a person in a new way, when we ask in love that God will do a new thing inside a person, God honors those prayers. A prayer in faith. That's what our response is. My friends, I expect that some of us are a bit like those disciples in Ephesus. Some of us have not seriously considered the Spirit's involvement in our life. Some of us have not asked for gifts to have. Some of us have been scared of it and have had bad experiences in the past, and so we back away from it. My friends, this is God's gift to you, to all of us, to live the life that he's designated for you, the life that he wants you to have, the life to bring glory to him, to edify, encourage those people around you, and to leave you with satisfaction and meaning in your life. You know, years ago, I was involved in another church, and that church had to do fundraisers. Sound familiar? They wanted to renovate the hall. And so someone somewhere had a bright idea to do a jumble sale. Have you ever been involved in a jumble sale at a church before? Don't do it. There were hundreds, if not 1,000 people that came through on that Saturday. And by 4 o'clock, it's like, anybody wants to take stuff, please just take it out of here. You know, and on Monday morning, has anybody been involved in a Monday morning post-jumble sale? Wow. So the guys were cleaning up, and there was one particular guy who loved this sort of stuff, and he reveled in it. He was having a great time and enjoying it, and it was about 10 o'clock. I was in my office. I was a youth pastor at that stage, and he came into my office with a grin on his face, and he had this bag of coins. And of course, you can imagine all the good stuff goes really quickly, and all the crappy stuff is left sort of around. You know, sort of people don't want it, and including what I later found out was a whole deceased estate, and there's all this mountain of aluminium pots. Who likes aluminium pots? Yeah. There was one person in the first service, so here we go. No one likes aluminium pots. You'll rue the day when I tell you the end of the story. And so there's all these mountain of aluminium pots, and he comes into my office with this, you know, bank bag, a Ziploc bag, with this handful of 50-cent coins. It was about $4.50. And we laughed that someone had put him in there for a rainy day, and it was celebration, so we put it in petty cash, and, you know, we had $4.50 extra on the takings for the day, and... about half an hour later, he comes back into my office, no colour in his face. Speechless. He's got a pot, and he opens the pot, and it's filled with $50 notes. $4,500. That pot was for sale for 20 cents. Always buy aluminium pots at church garage sales. Come on. That's the story. $4,500. Has this been recorded? Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately, there was a bank receipt in there, and wiser heads than mine prevailed, and so we had a lawyer in the congregation, and we contacted the family and found out that it was a great grandma's estate, and you know, she'd been squirreling around this money, and so we split it half and half. How many pots do we walk past? You know, how many spiritual pots do we walk past? How many things are we not tapping into? How many essences of the Spirit don't we touch? Because we say it's not worth it, we're scared of it, it's old-fashioned, we don't want it anymore, it's used by date, we don't want it. And here we are, we have a chance to lift the lid off the pot and say, God, give to me all the riches that you have for me, even today. Let me say a prayer. Father, we thank you that you give to us so much more. Thank you that you provide resources that go way beyond our understanding. Thank you that you give to us this incredible gift of the Spirit. And we love you for it. We don't understand it. Sometimes we're confused by what the Spirit does. Sometimes we're even scared. But we trust you. And so we lay ourselves again into your hands and ask for the courage to walk into this way, this sense of knowing your Spirit, and to pick up these gifts, to take the lid off and to spend what you've given to us for your glory and for helping others and for being the person you've made us to be, Lord. Lord, help us, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen.
Sing of your love, Holy Spirit, fire. overflow. Break upon my praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire burn within my soul as I call on your name. As I call on your name. As I call on your name, Jesus. As I call on your name, Jesus. As I call on your name, Jesus. As I call on your name, as I call on your name, Jesus.